Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Michigan Literary Network Radio for Wednesday, May 25th, 2016. And for today's show, we're just going to hear a replay of an interview we did back in April with Gabrielle Knox of the Detroit Poetry Society.
GEICO presents Sharing versus Oversharing. Today, Bridget Griffin shared a video of her daily yoga routine, two self-help articles, and her new blog called Build Your Inner Bridge with Bridge. Girl, your sharing has turned into oversharing. No worries, Bridge. GEICO has some info worth sharing with your 7 blog followers, like how you could save money on your car insurance, update your policy, and report a claim just by visiting GEICO.com. How's that for building your inner bridge? Bridge, GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Michigan Literary Network Radio for Wednesday, April 27, 2016. I'm Andrea Daniel, and today, to close out National Poetry Month, we are all about poetry. My guest is Gabrielle Knox to give us an update on what her organization, the Detroit Poetry Society, is up to these days. And in the second half of the show, I'm reading poems from some of my favorite poets. There's Michigan-based and national-based poets in my bag, and that's all if time is willing. I've got about 10 of them, so hopefully I'll have time to get to every one of them. But first up, let's talk with Gabrielle Knox, who is co-founder of the Detroit Poetry Society, which is a combination of education and literacy with a cooperative community mind frame. She describes the Detroit Poetry Society as a bridge connecting people with the tools to express what they need released through seeing reflections in each other. In almost 2 years, this organization has worked with world-renowned writers and groups such as Inside Out, Black Tie Collective, performed on the African World Festival stage, and is stepping foot currently into Detroit Public Schools as mentors and teachers, holding writing and expression workshops and creating safe spaces across Detroit and beyond. The organization is currently working on creating a community workspace, and I want to welcome Gabrielle Knox to Michigan Literary Network Radio. Hello.
Peace and love. Hello.
How are you?
I am well. I'm well. Thank you for having me.
You are so welcome. I'm so glad you could be here today. So let's talk about this workspace project, Gabrielle. It sounds like really interesting and like it's really needed.
Absolutely, absolutely. One of the main things our organization has been listening to in the community is that safe spaces are necessary. Safe spaces provide people with a chance to let go and also with a chance to see each other and have real conversations. Artists really, really need safe space, and community really needs safe spaces. So we have been offered the opportunity to purchase a home on the north end of Detroit, the north end side of Detroit, that was previously owned by a person who was really planning to do some kind of Detroit shark thing. They were really planning to raise up the prices and resell this home and sit on it for a little while and not really invest too much in the community or the space itself. And the community around it actually contacted the land bank, contacted some lawyers and some people to really get this house back to the community. Actually, our neighbor owns the home, and they are looking to sell it to us for very, very low, very affordable. And the home itself is a two-family flat. It is, you know, the copper is still there, a lot of the plumbing and most of the things, the electricity is on when we walked in the door. So it's just a really, really, really beautiful opportunity that the community is offering us. But our intent, again, is to create safe spaces. Detroit, and especially, well, really every state or city around the country has an enormous amount of youth that necessarily don't know what to do with their free time. You know, they go to school, and they may or may not be paying attention there. And then once they leave there, they have an enormous amount of time to either get into trouble or to get into figuring out how to survive or to figure out a lot of different things, being a teen in these ages. So our space and what we have been doing is really providing people an opportunity to get education, but in a more familiar way, in a way that they can understand and about things that they really need to listen to. For instance, other people's stories is something that I don't think people take too much pride in, but other people's stories shows us, I think it was a little part of the bio, but it shows us the voice of humanity. It shows us how we can see a reflection of ourselves and each other. So the opportunity to cultivate a space where it's safe, people can come and they can see each other, hear each other, and share stories is very important. The actual layout of the space, we look to base the Detroit Poetry Society office there, so we can have office hours, people can contact us, people that artists who are looking for spaces to live or looking to be a part of the workshops will have a resource in the community to contact, and we can get you in touch with people either to broaden your writing abilities. You can attend our workshops at this location, or you can get resources to live. You know, where's the nearest garden? You know, where is a space where it's not going to break my pockets to live? Where and how can I get in touch with getting more equipment and more tools to better myself? So this will be an actual housing space for people to reach us on all levels. We also look forward to trying to preserve and house a library at this space. When I say library, even thinking about after you get done with me, the poems and the books that you'll be participating in reading and sharing with other people, if we can house Detroit artists and we can buy and purchase and collect almost an anthropology of voice over time, whether that being journals, whether that being speeches, whether that being, you know, poems or whatever creative writing or writing that was necessary for the times in this space, people can come and not only, you know, have the freedom to express themselves, but really get into the voice of their people and see what other people are talking about, how they can grow also. So we're looking to house an anthropology of voice within this space, as well as the actual workshops that we have been holding in public and in spaces for the last 2 years in this housing space.
Wow, Gabby, all of that is wonderful. So first off, let's see. So you said, I'm gonna backtrack a little bit in the earlier part of your description of the whole workspace project. You said that somebody was taking over the property and they didn't have good intentions for it, and the community walked in, community got in there and got that the house from that person with ill intent, which is a wonderful thing to have happened. And now you said a neighbor actually owns that home and they're looking to sell it to the Detroit Poetry Society. How did the organization come into the picture to be offered the space?
The space was actually Broadside Press, which is a partner and a real respected cultural place. They were actually the bridge to this. They were looking to get the space, and you know, our intentions being such a matchup, we were looking to maybe partner with them and get a part of the space. And I don't think that it was really something that they really wanted to get into. At some point, a lot of people at the Broadside Press just weren't interested in getting a space and seeing what they can do with it. So they called us and they just kind of handed it to us. The community over there also kind of had our name in their mouth a little bit. When Broadside Press, and also being that we do a lot of the work and workshops and things that Broadside Press would endorse, it was a beautiful matchup. So Broadside Press, I would say, is the bridge to that, which is our elders, really. Our elders helped us.
Right. That is a great example of a working partnership to help the community go. Another question I have, Gabby, is you mentioned something about artists and performers and poets needing a safe space to do what they do. And I'm not going to assume that everybody knows what that actually means. Tell me, you know, from the Detroit Poetry Society standpoint, what does safe space look and feel like? Because that's what you want to present within this house.
Okay. I would say even with our motions and to get into this house, I could explain that with that. Paralleling into a neighborhood, because this is a neighborhood where you have people who have been living here for 50-plus years. Their grandmother lived in this house, and they have a private setting here. When Detroit Poetry Society even moved into or started to look at this space, we went up and down the entire block and communicated with everybody. This is who we are. We want to respect your space. And just really taking time to listen to people, to know people, and to talk to people, and to spread ideas and knowledge. So safe spaces kind of feel like a gathering of positivity, taking consideration for each other, right? Taking consideration for each other. If I'm going to come into the space, how much space will I take up? You know, how okay with you, with it are you? So just taking consideration for each other, and also just the non-judgment factor of especially when we're talking about poetry, we're talking about people's stories and people's lives. The non-judgment aspect and just being an ear to listen to someone else is in some spaces what I call a safe space. Really, at this point, and it's something that is opening up to me. We had recently a party, a fundraiser, and we invited a large group of people. But what I'm realizing is that we attract a certain energy and a certain group of positivity. So really, at this point, I just say the safe space is the people in our reach, who have the same intent as us, who want to see people do better, who want to see love spread, who want to build themselves.
Uh-oh, it seems as though we have lost Gabrielle Knox, and I'm sure that she's going to call back in. Gabby, if you can hear me anywhere, I am looking for you to call back in, but I am going to go to a quick break, and then we will return with Gabrielle Knox of the Detroit Poetry Society.
You're listening to the Michigan Literary Network radio show hosted by Motown Writers Network. Thank you for joining us. Motown Writers connects writers to their literary goals and readers to Michigan authors. For writers, we have workshops, conferences, networking opportunities, marketing, and promotions, plus resources available online and offline. We invite writers of all stages to our free writers discussions meetings held every second Saturday except in November at the Barnes & Nobles on Wayne State University campus from 10 a.m. to noon. For readers, we provide literary entertainment, book news, and giveaways online and offline. Check out our website for more information at MotownWriters.com. The Michigan Literary Network and Motown Writers annual events offline include the Essence of Motown Literary Conference and Jam, held every second Saturday in November. Also, our literary meet and greet is held in August of every year. Along with that, we have a book club mix and mingle in October. At these events, we invite readers and writers to come together to celebrate the written word, and at most events, they are free to readers. If you're interested in being a guest on our radio show, advertising with us, or promoting your literary project or service, please visit us at MotownWriters.com and click on our contact page for more information. If you're interested in hosting your own show with the Michigan Literary Network, please submit your show proposals to MotownWriters@Yahoo.com. Please share our information with other readers and writers, and we hope you help us continue to strengthen the literary network in Michigan and increase literacy in the Metro Detroit community. For more information, please visit our website at www.michiganliterarynetwork.com.
And we are back with Michigan Literary Network Radio for Wednesday, April 27th, and I was talking to Gabrielle Knott of the Detroit Poetry Society. The call dropped unexpectedly, and I was hoping that I've got Gabrielle back. Gabrielle, is this you? Are you back? And that would be a no. Hello?
Hello. Yeah, this is actually Sheezy from the Detroit Poetry Society. I was calling just in case y'all couldn't get hurt. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, great. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Sheezy. I appreciate you getting in. I've got a few more minutes left for this interview, but can you tell us what is actually needed for you guys to acquire the house? I know you have a GoFundMe campaign going on now. What do you need?
Yeah, that's really that's just about it for right now. We really just need just donations. You could either donate to the GoFundMe. You could inbox the Detroit Poetry Society Facebook page and get in contact with us that way. You might be able to meet us at the house to be able to, you know, hand us a physical donation. But that's really like we when I say we're just overwhelmed with the support that we have from the city, like you know, even like electricians and plumbers, you know, they've offered to help us with, you know, those aspects of the house and like keeping it together, putting it together, you know. But like really it's just the donations and just acquiring the actual property that we need right now.
Okay, that is great. So everybody can inbox the Detroit Poetry Society to discuss how you can get a donation to them. They've got a GoFundMe campaign that you can donate to, and that is such great information. I'm really proud of you all for going forward with this particular project and just making something community-based for those of us who are artists and we need someplace safe to do what we do. And I want to thank you and Gabrielle so much for being on the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having us. And thank you for being one of the elders that inspired us to even, like, you know, embark on this journey. We really just learned from the best. We had so much support from everybody in our city just coming into the poetry scene and just being interested that we had to, like, you know, do our part in keeping it going, the tradition, the beauty of spoken word and written word and just the words of our city. We thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh, man, you are so welcome. One quick question. Does the Detroit Poetry Society have a website?
Yes, DetroitPoetrySociety.org, if I'm not mistaken, or .com.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the two, but it's definitely Detroit Poetry Society. Yep.
Okay, all right, very good. People can Google it and find you online and on Facebook. And Sheezy, thank you so much. And I hope, and please thank Gabrielle also for being on the show, even though we lost her. We were glad that you all were both here. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you as well, and I will definitely let her know.
All right. Thanks a lot. Good night.
Okay. Good night.
And I'm so glad that Sheezy stepped in when we lost Gabrielle Knox on the call. Just picking up where she left off with some wonderful information about the Detroit Poetry Society's, they're calling it a workhouse in Detroit's North End. And now moving on to the second half of our show, I've got a little bit of time here. I have, and I'm going to be closing out National Poetry Month by reading some books of some of my favorite poets, some that are Detroit-based and others that are nationally-based poets. I filled a bag with 10 books, and I'll read one poem from each book, and I'm hoping I can get to all of them. And I am going to start with one of my favorite Detroit poets, my girl, Dymonique Boyd. I'm going to read from her book, Indigo, The Incantations of My Blue Heart. And this is another love letter to the sun. I know I take you for granted sometimes. I get mad at you for peeking through my windows early in the morning because feeling your gaze upon me wakes me up. Sometimes you get so close, you feel so warm that I can barely breathe. Your touch suffocates me, and I hate feeling crowded. But sometimes you kiss me so gentle. You graze me like I'm delicate. Wash over me when the world feels so cold and I lavish in your embrace. In that moment when you're touching me, I'm sorry for every unkind word I've ever said about you, for every morning I threw the covers over my head because I didn't want to face you. You're everything I want to be. You are warm and bright and beautiful. You illuminate everything around you, making even the gritty look pretty. You paint me in earth tones, hidden just beneath my surface. I just get so irritated when you get too close. I know you burn for me, but when you turn from me, I will yearn for you. I have learned that even in love, seasons change, and I will learn to love you through all of your changes. I will learn to love you while you are. And that was Diamond Eat Boyd's another love letter to the sun. And next up is from Melba Joyce Boyd's The Inventory of Black Roses book, and this is the poem, Water, Wind, and Stone. I was in love with my imagination, filling the absence of touch with thought. I am not white. I am not perfect. I am small and brown and delicate, a spark from God, trusting only the language of trees and the warnings of birds when sun cracks the morning window. The spirit that moves me moves the water, the wind, and the stone. A love that does not wait for spiders, but lights like an orange butterfly and charms children like a Celtic flute dancing with music on the horizon. It isn't I you fear, but the boy chasing the man in you. And that was Water, Wind, and Stone from The Inventory of Black Roses by Melba Joyce Boyd. Next up is another one of my favorite poets, Nikki Finney, and I am reading Lightkeeper from her book, Rice. His pretty hand roams to the room, even when he does not. It blindly goes its own way without asking if it can, and further brightens my private just right darkness. I hear him without a face say what he always says. You need more light than that, no matter what the state of illumination already is. He returns, still faceless, but with his other pretty hand itself, and reminds me once more, for good measure, you'll go blind, you know, no matter how convincing my argument for the keeping of the dark. He is the light keeper. He keeps the light for me. Extra beams, safety deposited inside a microfold somewhere, hidden somewhere inside those pretty hands. He is the light keeper, and it is not lost ships at sea who pocket the beams from his surplus stock, but his one and only bright-eyed little girl who never knew reason for to fear any dark. And that was Nikki Finney's Lightkeeper from her book, Rice. And now, from Nikki Giovanni's Chasing Utopia, a Hybrid, this is the poem, Podcast for Bicycles. I loved before I understood love is a skill. I loved my mother's hands on my forehead. I loved the safety of her arms. I trusted before I understood the word. Mommy would say, when I had fallen, come here, Nikki, and I'll pick you up. And I would wipe my eyes, push myself off my back bottom, and toddle over to her for my reward, a kiss and a, that's my big girl. I am still a sucker for that one. But I grew up, and I learned trust and love, our crafts we practice, our wheels we balance our lives on, our bicycles we ride through challenges and changes to escape and ecstasy. And that was from Nikki Giovanni's Chasing Utopia, the poem Podcast for Bicycles. And next up, I am reading from Aurora Harris's Solitude of Five Black Names, the poem Description. She was illuminated dreams, oppressed with flowers, with hair like the mountains, snow-capped and dark, eyes like oceans, lips like honeycombs, and skin like gold and mother of pearl in a translucent river. She was the solitude of five black moons. She is black, Greco-black, always black and bright. A million stars at midnight bright, but she is invisible. She is the angel of life whispering to me. That was description from Aurora Harris's Solitude of Five Black Moons. And from the Broadside Press anthology, Poet in the House, this is City of Dreams by Mary Ann Bozinski. Approaching the city, Renaissance Center looms through the mist, built to revitalize years ago. Now new structures blend with old. Look around. See the man stretched out on the ground? His belongings, all his worldly possessions lie close to him. No shoes, no socks. People coming and going. To them, he is invisible. See the lights of the Motor City Casino late at night? Oh, how pretty, so very pretty. There's a castle on the corner, windows boarded, majestic structure. And that's it for this edition of Michigan Literary Network Radio. Thank you for tuning in. Come back next week at 5:30 for more literary good stuff. This is Andrea Daniel. Good night.